Shatma Samatam Evam Adhyatma Yogena Charan Putrana Dhyamasa Pancharchi Shatma Samatam. Ladies? Ladies? Eva Madhyatma Yogena Manya Nusamacharan Putranu Padayamasa Pancharchi Shatma Samatam Evam Thus Adhyatma Yogena. By the means of Bhakti Yoga, karmani, activities, anu, always, samacharan, executing, putran, sons, utpadayam, asa, begotten, pancha, five, Archishi, in his wife, Archi, Atma, own, Samatan, according to his desire. Translation and purport by his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Being situated in the liberated position of devotional service, Prithu Maharaj not only performed all fruitive activities, but also begot five sons by his wife, Archi. Indeed, all his sons were begotten according to his own desire. Please repeat. Being situated in the liberated position of devotional service, Prithu Maharaj not only performed all fruitive activities, but also begot five sons by his wife, Archie. Indeed, all his sons were begotten according to his own desire. Purport. As a householder, Prithu Maharaj had five sons by his wife, Archie, and all these sons were begotten as he desired them. They were not born whimsically or by accident. How one could beget children according to one's own desire is practically unknown in the present age, Kali Yuga. In this regard, the secret of success depends on the parents' acceptance of the various purificatory methods known as samskaras. The first samskara, the Garbhadhan samskara, or child-begetting samskara, is compulsory, especially for the higher castes, the Brahmins and the Kshatriyas. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, sex life, which is not against religious principles, is Krishna himself. And according to religious principles, when one begets a child, he must perform the Garbhadhan samskara before having sex. The mental state of the father and mother before sex will certainly affect the mentality of the child to be begotten. A child who is begotten out of lust may not turn out as the parents desire. As stated in the Shastras, yata yonir yata bijam. Yata yoni indicates the mother, and yata bijam indicates the father. If the mental state of the parents is prepared before they have sex, the child which they will beget will certainly reflect their mental condition. It is therefore understood by the words Atma Samatan that both Prithu Maharaj and Archie underwent the Garbhadhan purificatory process before begetting children, and thus they begot all their sons according to their desires and purified mental states. Prithu Maharaj did not beget his children out of lust, nor was he attracted to his wife for sense gravatory purposes. He begot the children as a grihastha for the future administration of his government all over the world. Evam adhyatma yogena karmanya nu samacharan putran utpadayam asa pancharishatma samatam. Being situated in the liberated position of devotional service, Prithu Maharaj not only performed all fruitive activities, but also begot five sons by his wife Archie. Indeed, all his sons were begotten according to his own desire. Om Vishnu Viraya Krishna Pristaya Bhutai Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasvatundeve Gauravani Vicharane Nirvishesha Shunivari Paskyatyade Satarane. Prabhupada writes in the Bhagavad Gita that Krishna consciousness is not inactivity, but it's purified activity, and the purification of our activities depends upon our consciousness. And our consciousness depends upon our intelligence, our knowledge of things. And our knowledge depends upon what we're hearing. And what we're hearing depends upon our association. And our association depends upon our free will, generally, unless we're in jail or something. Therefore, everything begins with what we're hearing, being glorified. The whole modern society is based upon the process of hearing, if not directly through the ears, at least through the eyes, seeing all the different billboards, seeing the way people are dressed. Their various cities are a sense of statement, the big skyscrapers advertising how powerful they are, that we've conquered the material energy. When I was in Russia, they have this, in Moscow, this huge building that was built by the, oh, it was actually in Poland, in Warsaw. They had this huge building towering over everything. It was built by the communists to mark their power. It's still there. Therefore, everything we see is more or less an advertisement. The way people dress is an advertisement, the message that they're trying to tell. As Bhrigupati Prabhu knows, if you go to the airport and you look at people or anywhere with the way they dress, it's an advertisement. They're trying to tell you something. From their cowboy boots made out of snake or whatever, alligator cowboy boots, moccasin cowboy boots, giraffe cowboy boots, to their whatever the message they have on their shirt, to their tattoos, to the way they comb their hair. It's all a message telling people, you know, what to do. Although they may not be verbally vocalizing what they want people to do, but their every activity, their words, their dress, even the way they smell is more or less telling people to do something. I don't know how many billions or trillions of dollars they spend on perfume in this country. Obviously, they're trying to give a message. And that message, whatever it is, that creates a certain mentality, a certain understanding about life, a certain desire, a consciousness. And that consciousness, it is said, is more or less, or that desire is a prayer. Krishna says, Savasi chaham ridi sanivishto Matak smritira gyanam apoanam cha. That there is a person there, we're not alone, within the heart, and he's sensing our desire just like one can understand the flavor of a flower by smelling it. And knowing what we deserve, he's making arrangements for us here in the mature world or when we come to Krishna consciousness, also in Krishna consciousness. Everything is based upon our desire. He makes arrangements through his material energy to fulfill our desires according to what we deserve. If we desire to fulfill desires, then we get different material circumstances to suffer or enjoy or as Prabhupada said, actually just to suffering. And when we're under Daivi Prakriti, Mahatmanas Tumam Partha, Daivim Prakritim Ashitya, when we're under the internal energy, Krishna is also making arrangements, but through his internal energy, to fulfill our desire to serve him. So either we desire to serve this material world through this material body, or we desire to serve Krishna. And anyway, in any case, we always have to desire, either spiritually or materially. And there will be certain results. It is not that everything is happening by chance, by accident. People are born into a certain family. It is perfectly arranged, and there can be no... Krishna is not responsible. We cannot blame Krishna for our circumstances. It is based upon our own desires and activities. Therefore, tattenu kampam susamikshamano bunjana evatmakritam vipakam. Those who can see properly, tattenu kampam su means very nicely, iksha means to see. Those who have the proper intelligence, mana, that is, when their minds are controlled by the proper intelligence, tattenu kampam susamikshamana. Sama means completely, when their intelligence is completely purified and they can see everything properly, then they understand bunjana evatmakritam vipakam. Whatever circumstances at every moment we're experiencing is due to our own activities. That the Supreme Lord is not, well, here in the seventh canto we'll find out, the question is, why is it that the Supreme Lord took the side of the demigods and killed poor little Hiranyaksha? Hiranyakashipu was claiming that the Supreme Lord was impartial, or was not impartial. He had actually taken the side of the demigods, and when his brother wasn't looking, he kicked him. Killed him on the, without any mercy. Met him on the street, cornered him, and then killed him. So it appears that the Supreme Lord is partial towards the demigods. Just like a child, Hiranyakashipu uses the example, you give the child a few candies and he becomes partial towards you. So the Supreme Lord, the demigods, gave him a few candies. He became partial towards the demigods and killed Hiranyaksha. But no, Krishna is not partial. He's impartial. But when the demigods pray to him, my dear Lord, please come and save us, he comes and saves them. And when the same, when the demons, they pray to the Supreme Lord, come and fight with us, we want to kill you. Then Krishna comes and fights with them to fulfill their desire and then kills them. When a demon wants to become a devotee like Prahlad Maharaj, then Krishna reciprocates. Although born in the family of a demon, Krishna reciprocates with them as a devotee. And when a demon, or when the devotee becomes a demon like Indra, temporarily, then Krishna reciprocates with him also. When Indra started to pour water on Vrindavan, Krishna first of all thought, oh, it's Indra. Let me destroy him and his whole kingdom. And then he thought, no, it's useless. They're all insignificant. Why should I even bother? Let me just protect the inhabitants of Vrindavan. So he lifted Govardhan Hill in order to smash Indra's pride. So although he could have immediately, just like when when the Chaivana Muni had given both the Ashvini Kumaras the power to drink nectar as Somarasa, although Indra had forbidden them to do it, Indra became angry, so Chaivana Muni just froze his arm. When Indra was about to throw the thunderbolt on Chaivana Muni, but he just froze his arm. He had developed some shoulder problem. had to take some Chaitanya Prash, who's growing old and just froze his shoulder. Happens to a lot of people, but Indra was quite surprised. So Krishna could have done that, but he let Indra fully vent his all his power, and at the end of the day, Indra realized that he was completely insignificant. Just like Krishna originally thought, why should I bother destroying the person? It's not worth it. He's so insignificant. So Indra realized that and surrendered to Krishna again and became a devotee. So generally, Krishna, although we may not see it in the material world, he's trying to direct our desires in such a way that we become devotees. Even when the demons become smashed, it is not so out of envy that Krishna has arranged things like that. Oh, he's my enemy. Let me frustrate him. Let me disturb him. Let me do everything in my power to make him suffer. That's the material concept of life. No, Krishna arranges it as we see in the case of Banasura. Banasura had 10,000 arms being graced by Lord Shiva. And Lord Shiva was his personal protector in his kingdom, Shonitapura. But one day, Banasura, with his 10,000 arms, went to Lord Shiva and complained, "My dear Lord Shiva, by your grace, I received 10,000 arms. Unfortunately, I'm looking for a fight, because after all, my arms are itching me all the time." 10,000 arms, they just want to fight. "But everywhere I go, everyone just runs away. Therefore, I'm frustrated. I can't find any suitable combatant in this world. I go to the mountains, and I just, with my 10,000 arms, I just tear them to pieces." Just imagine trying to fight with someone who has 10,000 arms, trying to block their punches. Quite difficult. "So I tear all the mountains to pieces, and I'm still not satisfied. So what do you recommend?" He said, Lord Shiva said, "My dear Banasura, don't worry. Soon the time will come, you'll meet a worthy combatant, and you'll be smashed to pieces, and your flag of victory will no longer fly." So what happened? Banasura became ecstatic. "Wow, I'm going to be smashed. How wonderful." Because he was suffering so much because of this benediction, all this power, he was suffering because of it, and therefore he was actually desiring to be smashed so he'd be relieved of all this anxiety over having 10,000 arms. So Krishna came and reciprocated. The whole pastime is arranged with Usha and Aniruddha. More or less, part of that is to fulfill Banasura's desire to get rid of his arms. And indeed, Krishna sawed off 9,996 arms. And Banasura was given a body which was immortal, and he was happy. He only had 4 arms to play around with. Just like one becomes a multimillionaire. Does that mean that one becomes happy because one has so many billions of dollars? No, one suffers more. In one sense. Just like if you have a car, whoever here has a car, there's so much problems having a car. You have to put gas in the car, you have to put oil in the car, you have to put transmission fluid in the car. There's so many things to put into the car, more than we have to put in our own mouth you got to put into the car. It's like a big mouth. And it never ends. Every day you got to do the same thing. And it's cheaper to feed yourself than it is to feed the car. And then you have to pay for the insurance, you have to park the car, you may get a ticket, you have to have a garage, you have to clean the car. You have to do so many things for the car. And then it's so much problems. You think, I'm the master of the car, but actually one is the servant of the car. And if you have 2 cars, you have to do twice as much service. So the more, and that's the same thing for everything else we acquire in the material world. So many problems we have, and the more we have, the more problems we have. Although, of course, we know that story of the Brahmin with the Kopins. and he laid the copings on the bank of the river, and the mouse came and stole the copings. And now he had no copings. That's all he had was copings. Therefore, being a little embarrassed, he begged another pair of copings, but he didn't want to be put into the same embarrassing situation again, so he begged the cat to protect his copings from the mice. But the cat required some milk, therefore he got a cow. The cow required to be milked, he got a wife. The wife wanted children, so he got a house. To pay for the house, he needed a job. But to get to go to the job, he needed a car, so he had to work overtime at night. So now he had a car, he had two jobs, he had a house, he had two children, a wife, and a cow, and a cat to protect his underwear. And realizing it was an impossible situation, he decided to seek the best possible situation. He threw his underwear away and walked away. So the material world means to make everything more and more complicated without any limit. And the more complicated things become, the more our consciousness becomes bewildered and clouded. And as Maharaj Shabdev said, we have to take another body to come back in order to try to get out of the complicated karma we've created by our own desires. Therefore, the solution is try to purify desires by recognizing what the root cause of all the complication is. The root cause of all the complication is we don't accept that everything here belongs to God, to Krishna. Therefore, we're being forced to try to become the so-called proprietor of so many things in this material world, but it's all an illusion. And we don't accept that everything here is meant for Krishna's service, for his pleasure. And therefore, we're being forced to seek after our own so-called pleasure by trying to become the lords of this material energy, thinking that that will make us happy. But the solution is very simple, to understand that everything here is Krishna's property, and everything here is meant for Krishna's pleasure. And only when Krishna is pleased are we benefited, or is anyone else benefited. Everything else is really just a complication and another, although an attempt to become happy, but a creation of another miserable situation for ourselves and others. And when we change our consciousness from trying to make being directed by the senses to being directed by Krishna, then everything becomes auspicious, even creating children, as it mentions here. It is not that, as Krishna says, balam balavatam chaham kama raga bivarjitam dharma viruta bhuteshu kamosmi bharatarshiva. It is not that sex life is bad. Sex life is bad when it's only for sense gratification. Anything is bad for sense gratification. Sometimes in the scriptures we find Prabhupada criticizing so many people. You can find statements where Prabhupada criticizes women. You can also find statements where Prabhupada criticizes men. You can find statements where Prabhupada criticizes homosexuals, sex life, little children, cats and dogs. Everyone seems to be it sounds like either Prabhupada or Krishna or the sages, they were in a very bad mood when they wrote these books. When the devotees in 22nd Avenue were hearing Prabhupada's first lectures, Prabhupada kept on criticizing these Mayavadis. The devotees were wondering, why is this Swamiji keep on criticizing Mayavadis? He must have had a fight with them, and he's come here all the way from India to America, and he can't get that fight out of his mind. So everywhere he goes, he keeps on talking about it. And then after some time, they realize who the Mayavadis were that he was criticizing. It was them. So all this criticism is in the book, but actually what's being criticized is simply sense gratification. That everything about sense gratification, without any Krishna consciousness or any attempt to make any spiritual advancement, any regulation, is criticized. And any attempt, even any regulation, any progressive path to become Krishna conscious is glorified. Therefore, the conclusion is that Krishna consciousness is auspicious, and any attempt to any direction towards Krishna consciousness is that much auspicious, and everything else is inauspicious. So even sex life, if it's dovetailed in Krishna's service, Gurorna sasya na pitana sasyat, namochiyat yaksumapaiti mrityum. That one should become a father or mother or worshipful demigod or guru if he can deliver his dependents from the path of birth and death. So Prithu Maharaj was certainly quite qualified to do so. There's a process called Garbhadhan Sanskara to at least assure that there is some higher consciousness in the purpose of producing children. Or there are so many other samskaras. There are so many directions in the Vedic literature, but they all ultimately culminate in being Krishna conscious. That whatever we're doing, if we're doing it in consciousness of Krishna, then it becomes very auspicious. There are certain activities, of course, which are more conducive towards helping us becoming Krishna conscious, especially chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. That's supposed to be a call for the Lord and His devotees. We're supposed to be desiring this. It's not simply some mechanical chanting. It's supposed to be, we're supposed to be desiring, dear Lord, kindly engage, and dear Srimati Radharani, dear Krishna, kindly engage me in your loving service. We're supposed to be chanting, not with desire, with real feeling. And we can chant that anywhere. And if we're chanting with feeling, really desiring to be engaged in Krishna's service, and if we come to the Bhagavatam class, we hear Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, and we learn what is that service. And we do things in the attitude of service, then whatever we're doing becomes auspicious, even that of creating children, or preaching, or even anything. Just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one time, he came back after going to the field to pass, and he was holding his tongue. So one little boy said, "Why are you holding your tongue, Mahaprabhu?" He said, "Well, I was out there doing something dirty, and my tongue kept on vibrating Hare Krishna, so I had to stop it, because it wouldn't be very nice for the Supreme Lord to be there." So Gopal said, "No, wherever you are, you should chant Hare Krishna, all circumstances." So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu folded his hands and said, "Yes, you're right. I should chant Hare Krishna everywhere, that now you've become my guru." So he was called Gopal Guru, because he gave Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instruction. Kirtaniyak Sadahari, anywhere chant Hare Krishna. Anywhere, have that attitude of engaging in Krishna's service. Just one last story, as you all probably know the story anyhow, it's an appropriate story here, that it explains how Prahlad Maharaj was born to Hiranyakashipu. After all, what kind of mentality would Hiranyakashipu have when he was beginning a child? So many of you probably know this story, but it's always nice to hear these stories again. How many know how Prahlad Maharaj was born from Hiranyakashipu? Okay. So Hiranyakashipu, with his brother, his little baby brother, Hiranyaksha, they went to the forest to perform austerities. They wanted to conquer the universe, as you all know. Kill all the demigods, whatever, enslave the demigods. Obviously, the demigods, when they saw Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu going to the forest, they were not overwhelmed with feelings of love and affection for him. They wanted to stop his austerity, but Hiranyakashipu was quite powerful. They dare not face him directly. Therefore, they asked Narada Muni to help them out. So Narada Muni and Parvati Muni, they assumed forms of little birds. And they were sitting in the tree. Hiranyakashipu put up his arms and went through his thing, things that he usually went through when he wanted to conquer the universe. And in the tree, his little birds, Parvati Muni and Narada Muni, were chanting at the top of their little lungs, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Obviously, it was not the type of music that was very sweet in the ears of Hiranyakashipu. So he tried to throw stones at the little birds. Whatever he was, get out of here, you rotten little birds. Fly away. Take a hike. But every time they flew away, they came back, and he went back to his austerity. Now, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So the whole day went along with that. His throwing rocks, trying to get rid of these rascal little birds, trying to get back to his austerity. And finally, at the end of the day, he said, enough of this. It was a bad day. Come back tomorrow. So he went back with his brother. Said, I had a bad day, he told his wife, and had a lot of, boga, heaps of boga, and then decided to go to sleep. And he was so disturbed in mind, he decided to enjoy his wife that night. But when he was enjoying his wife, all he could hear in his mind was those little birds chanting, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So somehow or another, while he was in the act of conception, he was Krishna conscious. And therefore Prahlad Maharaj was born. So nothing happens by accident. So we'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Yes. Well, I heard it from so-and-so who heard it from so-and-so. I don't really know exactly where it comes from. But I guess we have to trace it back. It's not in Prabhupada's books, but it might be in some other book. And even if it was made up, it's a good story. Explains a lot. Some of these anything else? I didn't make it up, though. I'm not that clever. Okay, thank you very much. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.